Thank you. Good evening. It's a joy to welcome all of you to this beautiful Christmas Eve service. We hope that this service is a true blessing to you, and God gave us such a lovely night. I love being in Ephraim at Christmas time, and we wish you all, those who have come from near and those who have come from far away, that the blessing of the Christ child would be upon you this day. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, I give you thanks for your grace, your mercy, and your peace that came to us so many years ago and comes again to us this night. We ask that all that is said and done would bring honor and glory to you, O Christ, Son of the living God, in whose name we pray. Amen. Scott Wiborg will now come and tell us about the Christ candle.
Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, is born tonight. For us, a son born tonight, son is given, a son is given. God has kept his promises to us. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation. You have increased it joy. He shall be called Wonderful Counsel, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We honor Christ with a candle flame and the glad it tidings it proclaims. Come, all you faithful, be happy tonight. God comes among us as all true light.
would you stand with me as we sing our opening hymn, which is found in your booklet, O Come, All Ye Faithful. God of Israel.
For he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them.
By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high has broken upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death.
To guide our feet into the way of peace.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Thanks be to God for this gift beyond words.
My eyes have seen your salvation,
which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples.
Glory be to you, Lord our God. You have chosen us in Jesus Christ our Lord before the founding of the world.
You have given us such love, Father, that we should be called the children of God.
You have blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
You have rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us
You have redeemed us through Jesus Christ, your incarnate Son.
For the sake of the great love with which you love us, make us alive in Christ our Lord.
God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
May we all be transformed.
Scripture reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah writes, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and shall call him Emmanuel." That is to say, God is with us.
Thank you. now come. Someone's celebrating Christmas really well today.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading is found in the book of Luke, chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But Mary was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Thank you.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among the angel had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem," and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Please turn to the next hymn in your booklet, "Away in a Manger." Ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ. I just love Christmas. I drive everybody crazy with my Christmas preparations. I drive them crazy because they're jealous of me. Last year especially, I had all the gifts wrapped by Thanksgiving. Yes, you may send those negative vibes to me. I accept them freely. Everything was in readiness, and I was thrilled because I like to enjoy Christmas, and I don't like to rush around later on trying to get things together. So I have everything set. Last Christmas was especially wonderful because in the middle of the month, I had a Christmas wedding. So I got to wear a fancy dress under my robe and enjoy a beautiful Christmas wedding. And then the next day was a Christmas love feast. And I was just so happy. I thought, this is one of the best Christmases I'm ever going to have. It just seemed right. And then that Sunday, December 16th, I got a call. And it was a call from a hospital in Arkansas saying that my brother was in an accident and that he was in the emergency room, but he was ordering everybody around. So I thought, it can't be that serious if he's his old cantankerous self ordering people around. And I asked, well, how bad is it? And the nurse helpfully said, well, he's really busted up. I said, that does not tell me much. Tell me more. So they told of a broken arm and a broken leg and then something called a traumatic hernia. So I called my sister, the nurse, and I said, what does that mean? She says, it means we have to leave right away and get to that hospital in Arkansas. So I dropped everything and drove 2 days. My sister in Pennsylvania had to drop everything and drive 2 days to get to Arkansas. Now, if there's anyone here from Arkansas, I'm sure that there are places that are pretty in Arkansas. The place I went was not pretty. And then I went into the hospital after a 2 day drive to see how my brother was. And the first thing that I noticed at this hospital was a huge Christmas tree. I guess they wanted us to get in the spirit, even though it was a hospital. The only problem with the tree was it was about the ugliest tree I have ever seen in my life. I figured they had to work hard to make it look so ugly. It had the gaudiest ornaments on it, the weirdest colors, and if I looked closely, there was a fine film of dust over all these ornaments. Now, we're in a hospital. I walk through the lobby, and I get to the hallway, and it seems very grimy to me. Now, I've been in a lot of hospitals. It's one of those occupational hazards. I have never seen a hospital this filthy in my life. I walked in, I get to the ICU, and you know how the ICU has a panel that you press to get in? Well, this didn't have that. It had a big old button, and on the button it said, magic door opener. I kid you not. My sister took a picture of it, and every time her phone rings, if it's me, my icon comes up and it's the magic door opener. We just could not believe this. We walk to my brother's side and we find him on a ventilator. He had surgery, but his broken arm and broken leg were still not mended because the first surgery was so extensive they couldn't do the second surgery. And there he was in a medically induced coma. And we sat there. Now, I had told my mom in time for Christmas, that's a few days away, that'll be fine, I'll still get here for Christmas. And then as I watched my brother breathing on this machine, I thought, that might not happen. Now, most of my board members knew I was crazy and wrote to me and said, you're not going to be home for Christmas, don't worry about it. And I sat there with my sister, day after day. Now, my sister, being a nurse, asked really important questions. One of the questions she asked was, what are your ventilator-acquired pneumonia rates? The little nurse said, I don't know. My sister said, then find me someone who knows. And an assistant director of nurses came and start to talk to my sister about, oh, we have so many protocols in place, and never gave her the ventilator-acquired pneumonia rate. Sure enough, after several days on a ventilator, every day us asking, when is he getting off? When are you going to wean him? My brother had pneumonia. And so now he's languishing there for days, and my sister has to leave in order to get back to her family for Christmas. And one of my other brothers said, I'm going to come and stay with you. That was my brother Stevie. Now, I told him not to, and there's a reason I did that. Because when my father was dying, Stevie got in the car and drove, and by the time he got there, my father was gone. And I was pretty sure that that was going to happen again. And I said, Stevie, please don't come. I didn't want him to have a complex. You can have a real complex if people keep dying on you. But he didn't pay attention to me, and he came. So as he was driving on Christmas Eve, my brother was in the second surgery with pneumonia in a weakened state. And I really did not think he was going to survive the surgery. So I went to the chapel. Now, most hospital chapels are quite lovely, and they feel very calming and wonderful, and you just want to sit there and meditate. This was as bad as the gross Christmas tree. The chapel itself was just benches, and it looked dirty too. Well, I went and sat down, and there was somebody next to me who was sitting there, and his mother was also in the hospital and not doing well. And so we sat there waiting for the service. They said there'd be a service that day. There were technical difficulties, so the chaplains waited until the TV was fixed before they would speak to us. And then I noticed they didn't speak to us because they were speaking to everybody on closed circuit TV. So the two of us are sitting there, and the chaplain is looking at the camera. I thought, oh, this is going to end very well. How lovely. But the chaplain said something to me, something I have said a long time. I've said this probably every Christmas, and it's something I believe with all my heart, but until you experience it, it's just words. He talked about Christmas being Emmanuel, God is with us, that God came in human form to share our lives with us, and God is with us. And so as I sat in that grungy surgical waiting room, I thought, how has God been with me this week when I should be home celebrating Christmas Eve with all of you? And God reminded me how much he was with me. Every night, when I had to leave Buddy's side, I would not know what to say, and I didn't know what he heard, but I remembered a lullaby I would sing to my son. And it goes like this: good night, my father, put thoughts of Jesus in my head. Holy Spirit, comfort me. Put angels all around my bed. Put angels all around my bed. And every time I left his side, I knew that the angels of God were there. Being a religious type, I decided that I should ask for a chaplain to come look in on my brother. Now, my brother's name, we call him Buddy, but his real name is Lewis Gibson. The chaplain who came was Althea Gibson. And she said when she saw the request, she got a little concerned. She said, Daddy's in the hospital? Her daddy's name is Lewis Gibson. So cousin Althea and we got along famously that week as we stood vigil with my brother. On Christmas Eve, my brother Steve arrived. And we were able to talk with Bud. Of course, Bud was still unconscious. He was still in a medically induced coma, still on the respirator. Christmas Day, Stevie and I went to a Chinese restaurant, just like in Christmas Story. We went to a Chinese restaurant to eat, and as we were there, we had no sooner sat down to eat, and the phone rang. And the nurse said, we've weaned your brother off the respirator, and he's very agitated. Could you come now? So we drop everything, we go. And I was a little concerned because even if he survives this, how is his mind going to be? So I walk into the room, and Bud looks at me and says, get me out of here. I thought, oh, he's fine. And then when I giggled, he said, I'm not kidding. And so for the next few hours, we had to tell Bud. My brother Steve, in his inimitable way, started telling stories. Now, Stevie is a wonderful story, wonderful Christmas. That evening, we were hungry. Of course, there was nothing open by that time. And so Stevie and I had spaghetti with clam sauce in a can and Oreos for our dessert. And we had a wonderful Christmas because we knew that although family was far away, God was with us. My brother today is walking without a limp and has no ill effects from that time in the hospital. God is with us. Now, you might have come tonight and have had a great year. Things have been going well. God is with you in that joy. He was with Jesus when Jesus went to that wedding and provided the best wine they had ever tasted. God is with us in our joys. And he's also with us in our sorrows. He's with those of you who have come and you're looking for that person who no longer can sing Christmas carols with you. God knows your sorrow, and he is with you in your sorrow. Christmas is all about God with us. In a few weeks, all the beautiful decorations will be taken down, but God will still be with us. He will be with us when we're rejoicing, and he'll be with us when we're in sorrow. I did not miss Christmas last year. I was not here, but I didn't miss Christmas. I had Jesus with me in my family, in my friends, in people who were praying around the clock, in the angels that came and watched over my brother at night when I couldn't. God is with you today. That is the message of Christmas, whether we're in a beautiful place or in a place with tacky ornaments. God is with us always. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that we can never miss Christmas because your grace and your peace and your mercy are within us. I thank you that you came to share this life with us. And I ask that you would remind us of that in all our joys and in all our sorrows. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing our next hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Oh,
time candles were used in a Christmas Eve service was December 24, 1747. It was a children's service in which the pastor desired to impress on them what the coming of Jesus meant. He spoke of the blessings which came through the birth of Jesus, among other things, that by his wounds and pierced side, he had lighted a blood-red flame of love in every heart, which would burn forever. For an impressive reminder of this, each child was to receive a burning candle tied with a small red ribbon. Then the children held their candles high as the pastor sang, "O little Jesus, thee I love. Kindle a pure and holy flame within the heart of every child, like that which from thine own heart came." Today the candle is made of beeswax, which is the purest form of wax, symbolizing the sinless life of Jesus. The red trim reminds us of the blood of Jesus, and the fire reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. Before we begin this wonderful ritual of light, we have a word from our fire chief.
Oh, tell me, I don't have a few words, so bear with me anyway. But as you see this candle, the fire chief has to give approval that you can have this in a public building. So my reputation is at stake when you light a candle. Now, when you light the candle, do not tip a lit candle because the wax will run. Keep the lit candle vertically. Took the omelet one and light it off a bit. Okay? Keep it away from the hair and the little ones that are with you. Make sure you hold their hand, because we don't need somebody going in somebody's hair because it just goes. I mean, I've got guys with extinguishers around the room. We will not get there fast enough. So just beware. Precaution at the first. So have a good night.
We'll have our distribution of candles.